The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Oh, yeah. Six notes that changed my teenage world.
Sitting on the park bench, I knew the girls with bad intentions.
I'm going to guess 11-year-old Mike Gallagher, not really your wheelhouse.
Probably not. Yeah, that doesn't sound like Barry Manilow.
Stop running down his nose. Yeah, buddy!
You going to interview him?
No, that of course is Ian Anderson out front of Jethro Tull with the vocals and the flute.
Who are
and all
you interviewing? I missed it.
Martin Barr, whose guitar number, that's him. I mean, for like 50 years, the guitarist for Jethro Tull, doing a solo tour, playing I think just about that whole album and various other classics like Living in the Past and other stuff at Arlington Music Hall tomorrow night. So he's on
Very
at 9,
cool.
He's at 9:35, and I love taking
nice.
This little dip into the culture. I love it. I love it. I love it. But hey, what do you want to do first? What's up?
Well,
Let's
do some culture news. Let's do a little bit of pop culture, shall we?
Let's do.
Disney was all set to do a live action version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
I just don't.
I'm sorry.
Is it the whiteness or the dwarfness that's a problem?
No, they fixed the whiteness because Snow White isn't white.
Of course.
I'm forgetting who they cast. Let me look here. I saw that part of the story.
A wonderful actress, I'm sure, whoever it is.
Oh, I'm sure. But she's a person of color because,
great,
you know,
great, you
Snow
know.
White can't be white, you know. forget it. But, you know, are you a fan of actor, like I am, actor Peter Dinklage?
He is a genius. He's great in everything. I've Game of Thrones, which I've never seen an episode of, but I have respect for it because so many people love it. And he's done some comic turns that are just fantastic. A great actor. I love him. And he's about 3.5 feet tall. He's great.
He's a little man. He's
yes.
a little guy. Little,
Small,
little
person.
Person.
Mm-hmm.
Right, little person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He is livid over the reimagining of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Well, do we have dwarves?
Well,
do we have actual little people actors in this, or do we not? Tell me.
I don't think he just wants them to do the story. He says he told Mark Moron.
I think
on
it's
his
Moran.
World.
Right.
Moran. M-R-O-A-N. It's, well, yeah, he's
right,
got the
Maria.
WTF podcast. Right. That fits. All right, so Peter Dinklage said, take a step back and look at what you're doing there. Makes no sense to me. You're progressive in one way, talking about the casting of the person of color for Snow White, but then you're still making that effing backwards story about seven dwarfs living in a cave together? What the F are you doing, man? Have I done nothing to advance the cause from my soapbox? I guess I'm not loud enough. He says, if you tell the story of Snow White with the most effed up, cool, or progressive spin on it, let's do it. I'm all in. Now,
where the dwarves are 6'2"? I mean, is that what is his suggestion?
I guess they're supposed to be people. Maybe they shouldn't live in a cave. Maybe go down to a condo. Are they supposed to live in a trailer? Where are they supposed? Are they not supposed? Are the dwarves not supposed to be dwarves? Now, he suffers from achondroplasia.
Don't say suffers from.
Well, I don't mean. I'm sorry. He has that.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he ain't suffering.
I know. All right. Well, you're
fine.
Not suffering from blindness anymore. No. You're not suffering. I guess a handicap isn't
fine.
A handicap.
I mean, sorry.
I know. All right. So he has
achondroplasia,
which is a type of dwarfism.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pointed out to me, I only heard about this story because a listener texted it to me on the MyPillow text line, also known as the Let's Bash Mark Davis line, 1-800. Calls
on,
are welcome.
Come on.
Texts are welcome.
Come on.
800-655-MIKE. Let's go. Get that
you
hate
want
going.
A piece of me?
Yeah, like the pro-choice guy who pretended he was pro-life a couple minutes ago.
Right.
Good job with that caller. But anyhow, 800-655-MIKE, if you want to weigh in on this, because that's how I heard about it. Didn't Peter Dinklage like play roles in Hollywood that sort of, you know, spotlighted his dwarfism?
Maybe,
somebody said he was like an angry elf or something.
Maybe like this.
Smile off your face before I come over there and smack it off. You feeling strong, my friend? Call me elf. one more time.
That is Peter Dinklage in Elf as an angry little person. Is little people even the term? If you're 3 feet tall, what do
he's
you want?
He's 4 foot five.
What do you want? What do you want to be called? I don't even know what to call. I mean, I'll call anybody what they want to be called. I really, really will. I will afford them that. Is dwarf weird? Does it make you think of Snow White? Little person? Is that really better? I don't even know. I don't know.
So is it Snow White and the seven little people? Would that make him happy?
I don't
what
know.
What would make him, really, what would his demand be? But here's the kicker.
Yep.
In response, Disney is going to rework the whole thing. They said, quote.
And give us what?
Well, quote, for this is Disney statement. I want more on Disney in just a moment. Yep. So on the culture. Yep. To avoid reinforcing stereotypes from the original animated film, taking a different approach with these seven characters.
They're making
and have been
kids?
Consulting.
Kids? They can't be kids.
What? Who's kids?
Oh, no, I was going to say maybe just make the dwarves all 9 years old, but then that gets weird. Doc
they've been
sleepy
consulting.
And grumpy and bashful, and they're all third graders.
Like Goo Goo Gaga.
Yeah.
We've been consulting with members of the dwarfism community.
Okay.
We look forward to sharing more as the film heads into production after a lengthy development period. So Peter Dinklage probably just added about, $80 million to the budget, because now I guess they're going to rework what was supposed to be a very exciting woke. Mm-hmm. I just love when woke swallows up woke.
They destroy everything they touch. Peter Dinklage, by his life and work, has done more to show how cool and funny and smart and awesome someone of reduced height can be. And then you bring this to the table. I mean, maybe, I don't know, could you remake Wizard of Oz? Would the Munchkins be a problem? Probably.
Oh, my gosh. Bite your tongue. You can't say Munchkins.
Because that was 47 actors, all of whom were dwarves. Little people, whatever, in 1939. It
makes me crazy. And I did find the actress. It's a Latina.
Yeah, okay.
She's the West Side Story breakout star, Rachel Zegler.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So Rachel Zegler, and Dinklage says, literally no offense to anyone, which, by the way, that's like the checks in the mail. That means everybody's going to be offended. I was a little taken aback when they were very proud to cast a Latina actress as Snow White.
Why was he
taken aback? Telling the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
So they were willing to scrub Snow White's whiteness, but weren't willing to erase the dwarves and their reduced height.
So now it'll be, I guess, Snow Latina and the Seven Giants. Well, I don't know. What are you going to do? Do you watch CBS Sunday Morning?
Not enough, because the Jane Pauley's still doing that, right?
I think it's the best show on television.
It actually does. It doesn't beat you to death with politics, and they just do some cool stuff honoring the legacy of the great Charles Kuralt.
Yep. Kuralt, then Charles Osgood, and now Jane Pauley. Mm-hmm. But the shows, the packages, I think, are so fascinating. A lot of times it's just profiles of people that I find interesting, and they did a profile of Abigail Disney. Now, this woman is the granddaughter of Roy Disney, right? And she's just woke as can be.
Yeah.
She hates that there are rich people. She's a Disney. Now, she's got a podcast. You got to look up. Have you followed anything from Abigail Disney?
I have not. I'm just looking at her right now. About our age. Born in L.A. in 1960.
Yep.
And
she's our age. She condemns the high pay that Bob Iger got, the chairman of Disney. This is ridiculous. The people are. She's. Do you have any billions of dollars? The Disney family. Now, here's what I'd love to say to her. And I'm sure she's done nice philanthropic things.
Right.
How about this? Give everything up except about $30,000 a year. Give it all up. You give your whole life. And she addressed that in the piece. She feels kind of guilty. She feels like she's helped enable. Do you know, she said, that people in the goofy costume often have to sleep in their car and they make $17 an hour? That's wrong. Well, take the billions you got and pay them.
Or whoever's working the goofy costume, if that's not enough money, go get another job. I would have killed to be the guy in the goofy costume when I'm, 18 or whatever. Maybe when I'm 25, depending on how life is going.
It's not enough. You got to make money. Disney's got to pay more. The world is upside down. Speaking of the world upside down, I'm going to talk. I cannot wait to talk to Joe Borelli later today, a New York City councilman.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow city council member from Harlem, which is where the shooting took place that killed not one but now two cops. The other officer died yesterday. So both officers have died. The monster that killed them, some thug with a rap sheet a mile long. The city councilwoman who represents that community is a woke activist that wants to defund the police and calls the police white supremacists. And we got to stop white supremacy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Her name is Kristen Richardson Jordan. You know what she tweeted out yesterday? Mm-hmm. Now, the murderer, the killer died too. The monster died. She tweets out, "My deepest condolences to the families of Officer Jason Rivera, Officer Wilbert Mora, and LaShawn McNeil." She's tweeting out sympathies to the killer mm-hmm. and his family. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Twitter went nuts. It's like, are you out of your mind? This is what we're living in, Mark. And she represents a huge swath of constituents in New York City.
Let's go from New York down I-95 to Washington, where the Black Lives Matter chapter in D.C. is telling people, hey, hold the phone on the hero status for these shot cops. They are lamenting the hero status and the empathy and the gratitude because to Black Lives Matter, the police are evil and racist and never, never to be upheld, never to be appreciated. And that's why Black Lives Matter is a societal poison.
Nobody should dispute that November can't get here soon enough. Lots of text messages on the Mark Davis text line at 800-655.
Stop it. It's not the Mark Davis text line.
Well, one of them's calling you a liberal. Can liberal Mark Davis.
What did I do?
Quit? Well, what? He says, let's see. Can liberal Mark Davis quit being a sensitive little lib about documented science because it might offend someone?
What's he talking about?
To liberal language is why Republicans are pathetic.
What in
He's
the world?
A damn dwarf. He suffers from dwarfism. Call it what it is.
Great.
Good Lord. Somebody,
intellectual dwarfism.
Another happy customer.
We'll put you down as undecided.
Undecided, yeah. Please. The jury is out. But the final note on this COVID, how about this story? A 31-year-old hospital patient, mm-hmm. a father, has been removed from his desperately needed heart transplant list at a Boston hospital because he won't get the vaccine. So this guy and this father said his son, who is fighting for his life in the hospital, and is in by the way, we're both going to get in a ton of trouble over this because yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Look at the time.
I know. I can predict your answer.
All right, so start at the beginning. Good.
This guy is in desperate need of a heart transplant.
Yep.
He doesn't believe in the COVID-19 vaccine.
Yep.
He's fighting for his life in a Boston hospital. The hospital has taken him off the heart transplant list.
Mm-hmm.
His father says it's kind of against his basic principles. He doesn't believe in it. He said, my son has gone to the edge of death to stick to his guns, and he's been pushed to the limit.
I may surprise you. What exactly
Let me surprise you.
Okay.
Let me start. Mm-hmm. I'll start because, I mean,
sure.
The both of us probably would say, get the shot.
Get the damn shot.
I would say mm-hmm. how insane it is.
Thank you.
That a hospital filled with doctors
yep.
who are supposed to do no harm.
Yep.
The guy doesn't have COVID, incidentally.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he's suffering.
Right. What risk is he to anybody anymore? I mean, what is the reason for the hospital's policy? I don't agree with the hospital's policy at all.
Good. Good. Phew. Yeah, like we dodged a bullet. I thought, well, because a lot of people on social media say, just get the shot for crying out loud. You want to live? Well, the hospital is going to kill him.
Yeah.
The hospital is literally, if he doesn't get a heart transplant, mm-hmm. everybody kind of agrees he's going to die. They won't give him the heart transplant because they say, you know what? The statistics show that if you get COVID, you're going to probably have a hard time or die. So we're not going to get you the heart transplant.
Yeah.
Mark, we are in an insane asylum. How can that hospital? Do you know how? Now listen, you could have the position. Oh well, get the shot. My position would be, isn't that evil? How could those hospital administrators
their
look in the
priorities
mirror, right?
are just whack. I don't understand why the hospital's policy would be that. Hey, I don't have the MyPillow text line, but I got Twitter. Somebody just hang on. This is red. Here we go. You ready? The Hobbit.
Stay off Twitter.
Look at that. But for Twitter, we wouldn't have this high quality talk show content from my buddy Rhett. The Hobbit movie
used normal-sized people to portray dwarves. Don't remember any hubbub about that. Of course, weren't they all well, just...
But they miniaturized them.
Right.
They did?
I don't know. What?
Yeah. I remember the Hobbit movies.
I don't do hobbits, dwarves, kingdoms. I don't do any of that crap. I don't do Twin Towers. I don't do Lord of the Rings. I don't do Snarf the Dragon or whatever.
Snugglepuffs or Snuggleupagus.
Smaug, Desolation of Smaug.
I remember what they did. They took regular sized, or I shouldn't, don't say, I guess
oh,
regular.
God, I'm sorry.
I don't mean to say normal. Regular. What do you say? Average? I don't know
no,
what you
stop
say.
It,
I'm afraid
know.
To say anything. All right. Well, Snow Latina and the anyway, you take regular sized person.
Right.
And they miniaturize them. They've done that before. They did that. They do like they show. And so why is that better? What's up with that? You're still portraying dwarves.
Yep.
You're just miniaturizing by animation or whatever, or what are they called? CG or CGI or I'm telling you what, the world has gone nuts.
It has just
we
if you're
going
to make a movie that is about that has dwarves in it, then well, get 3 foot, 4 foot actors to portray them, and everybody else can just shut up. I mean, just.
I think I've got a talk topic today at 10:05.
There you go.
Incidentally, and Lisa and Keller with a great final note on this.
Yes.
It's easier for Peter Dinklage to say. He's an employed actor.
Yes.
Other little people actors would have loved to have had that opportunity.
Think?
Now less jobs for little people actors.
There might have been a nifty moment of acting for whoever they get to play, you know, dopey or grumpy or happy or Doc or bashful. Great, I know the dwarves. I can't find my car keys.
That's right. Good for you.
So exactly.
Do I dare play when I do this topic? Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
Oh. Bum, 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 bum. Well, that's enough.
I don't think we're allowed to play that. Canceled.
Song canceled.
Canceled.
All right.
Well, YouTube just took me down.
Talk fast. Mike Gallagher's there for you.
Happy Wednesday.
Mike Gallagher today at 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.